again, this is Therapeutic Metaphors 101, and I'm doing a Facebook Live, and I'm also recording it on Zoom for my email list. And on the email list, I'm going to give a little bit more detailed information, and I'm going to break it down even more and give you the written steps so you can do it. So on Facebook Live, you're just going to see the demonstration, and I'm going to talk about it. But if you want the step-by-step and you're not on my email list, make sure you email me or contact me through here and get a hold of me and add yourself to my email list, the NFNLP email list, and you'll be getting the video, you know, with all the steps written out. So then you can, it'll be much easier to do. So my eyes are going back and forth between the two because right now, I don't know, I'm sometimes technically challenged, and I can do it this way, my iPhone XR and my Zoom on my laptop. But today, therapeutic metaphors. How do you do a therapeutic metaphor? I've heard a lot of people talk about it, and mostly I've heard bullshit and stuff that doesn't work. And so what I'm gonna do is the world famous visual squash technique, which is a subconscious conscious conflict. It's the id, ego kind of thing going on. Whatever you want to describe it, it's the part of you that wants to do something and the part of you that fights it. And so you could do a formal NLP technique. It's very easy. You could do parts therapy with hypnosis. Hey, Scott, it was good seeing you this weekend, Mr. Giles. I'm trying to see who else is up there. Got a lot of people say hi. If you like this, click like and share. If you don't like it, just be quiet and move on. So anyway, therapeutic metaphors, how do you do it? And again, we're going to do the visual squash, which is basically a simplified parts therapy. I learned this long before actually parts therapy came along. So the visual squash is the part of you wants to do something, part of you doesn't. How many of you have that where a client says, hey, you know, I used to always get clients going, doc, part of me wants to stop smoking or lose weight or whatever. Part of me fights it. Right? Or part of me wants to do this, part of me doesn't. That's a classic. And you're actually saying what's going on in their mind. It's the neuroplasticity. Your language and your gestures will always reveal your neuroplasticity. Maybe next week I'll do a Facebook Live on neuroplasticity and how it applies to NLP and hypnosis techniques, techniques. So your language and your gestures will kind of say what your neural pathways are doing at the time. And so again, if you like this, click like and share, pass it around. So anyway, therapeutic metaphors. Now, first thing about it, if you're going to do the visual squash, and let's say you decide you want to be fancy and just do it in a story form, here are some things you have to bear in mind. First of all, they say, whoever they are, this weekend at the Solid Gold, some people thought I was crazy. I wear a name tag that says they, right? And what does that mean? Well, I'm the guy they quote, you know, they say. Anyway, I'm here on Thursday, tell your friends. So when you decide to do this, the first thing you have to realize, especially about the visual squash, you know, some people would say, well, you know, you're going to be totally objective as the therapist, as the interventionist, whatever, with the part of them that wants to do it, part of them that doesn't. Fine. I understand that. But at the same time, I'll be honest with you, you're leveling the playing field. You're deciding which one of these is going to win as the therapy, because you can weigh the answers, if you will. You can weigh the way that you're doing it, so one side will have more power than the other side. Right now, the subconscious mind, or the part of them that's stopping it from doing it, is winning. Right? They're still smoking. They won't change their diet. They won't exercise. They won't write their book. They won't take more action, whatever it is. These are things I've done. So you're going to decide which one you want. Great. So that's kind of the truth, first of all. So when you're going to do this, first thing you have to do is define the problem. And your client's doing that for you. We call it the meta model, or I call it the meta model. You know, what do you want? What would that do for you? How will you know when you have it? So let's say it's a person that wants to lose weight. So they say, doc, part of me really wants to lose weight. You know, I need to drop some weight and get in shape. You know, summer's around the corner, yada, yada, yada. Great. But, you know, part of me just likes that cookies and crap late at night. So you have the two parts. So you're defining the problem. And then you're going to elicit the conflict. So you just you begin to elicit. So the party that wants to do it, what are some of the reasons it wants to do this? Why does it want to lose the weight or get in shape? Well, to look better, to have more self-confidence, to have more self-esteem, things like that. What else would it do for you? I always ask two or three times. Well, it'll give me more energy, because if I'm not carrying around that extra however many pounds, you know, my knees won't hurt or my back won't hurt. My own life, I know it's about, if I cross 170, my knees hurt even more. So moral of the story, don't jump out of airplanes and do competitive martial arts most of your life. But anyway, so you got the conflict. So you know that, and you're eliciting the positive intentions of the two. So you got the positive. Now I'm going to lean toward the positive, the person that wants to lose the weight, person that wants to get in shape. Great. So this part of you wants to do it for all these reasons. Well, you said there's a part of you that fights it. Well, what do you think that's, what's going on with that? Well, you know, I don't know. I like the way it makes me feel when, you know, I have little cookies or some ice cream or something at night. So it makes you feel better. Food makes you feel better. Yeah. So, but part of you really wants to make this change. You'll feel better, have more. And again, I reinforce, you'll feel better. You'll have more energy. You'll have more zap. More self-confidence, all that, if you do it. But part of you likes food, right? And you like eating late at night and doing those kind of things. Great. So you got these two things going on. Any other things going on with why you think it's hard to do? Well, you know, sometimes I come in and, you know, if my significant other's made a big meal, I feel like I have to eat it all, right? Oh, so somewhere maybe in your life you heard those things like, you know, I made this just for you. If you don't eat it, you don't love me. There could be a lot of things going on, but part of you feels bad if you leave food on the plate is what you're telling me. And they go, yeah. So you have this conflict where part of you really likes to eat, but then part of you wants to lose weight. So you're constantly going back and forth. And right now, obviously, you're not making the change, right? So this part's winning, but would you really like to do it, right? So the resolution would be, So then you're going to, step one is you define the problem. Step two, you elicit the conflict and the positive intentions of each. Step three is now you describe the resolution. What would the resolution of this be? What do you think? If we could work this out, well, you're going to do the things you need to do to lose the weight. Eat less, maybe we'll eventually start exercise, whatever it is. Great, yeah, we're going to do that, right? But you know what? You're still going to enjoy food. You're human. Food is a sensuous pleasure. You know, and one of the big myths is these really fat people say, I can't lose weight because I love to eat. That's like saying skinny people don't like to eat. You'd have met my dad, who was most of his life a beanpole. That boy could eat, right? Now, he didn't eat all the time. He didn't eat for emotional reasons. Thank God I got a lot of his mindset. But so you go back and forth, right? So you're going to make the changes necessary for you to do this, but you're still going to enjoy food. Great. You know, if somebody cooks you a wonderful meal, you want to eat it, you want to enjoy it. You don't want to stuff yourself till you can't move. So you want to realize that. So the resolution would be coming together. So now you've done step one, define the problem. Step two, elicit the conflict. Step three, I guess you'd say, you know, find the positive intentions in each. Step four would be describe the resolution. Now you want to find a metaphor before you just create one. It's always easier to shoot the fish in the barrel. So you ask the person, what metaphor were, you know, is there a story you like? Is there a type of story? Do you like Star Wars? Do you like Harry Potter? Do you like action adventure movies? What is it you like? Because if you go with a metaphor they like, they trust that they know, hopefully you know it too, right? This will give you a good excuse to go to the movies and read a lot more books. So let's say they say, oh, I like fairy tales. Okay, great. So I'm going to tell you a story in a moment, and it's about two people. And it's one of the peoples we call, it happened in a land far, far away in a time a long, long time ago. But the land was much like ours in a time sort of like today. You know, because what really changes? Things are somewhat the same, even though they change, wouldn't you agree? Now, that's a nonsensical statement, but if you said it in a conversational form, most people, their eyes kind of glaze over, and you say, you know, that, you know, things are very different, and yet they're the same over time, wouldn't you agree? you get this response, which lets you know they're already accessing different parts of their brain and they're beginning to drop down into the subconscious level, or they're accessing more of it. So in this fairy tale, in this land far, far away, which is very close to what we are now, and it was in a different time, but it was in a time much like now because, you know, problems really don't seem to change. There were two people, and one lived down in the valley, and they were very studious, they were very strict, and they held on to the old ways. We'll call them the naturals. They only did the natural way, right? And they were very reluctant to change, you know, but at the same time, they seemed to be very conscientious and they seemed to get a lot done. You know, they went to bed early. They got up early. They did a lot of work. They were strict, but they didn't have any fun. Right? And so that's the naturals. They lived in the valley. Now up in the hills, you had the people that we'll call, the normals. So in the valley had the naturals, the people that, I just had a brain thing in the middle of my fairy tale. You know, you have the naturals living in there, da, 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 da. And then you have the normals living up in the mountain. Now the normals were somewhat, they were spontaneous. They had a lot of fun. You know, they'd get up late. They would sleep late. They would do things. And maybe they didn't get as much done, but they enjoyed life. They got things done, you know, and they were very physically active. They ate good. They physically were exercised, but they enjoyed everything that they did, right? Now, these two people never saw each other because one lived up in the mountains. You know, these were the normals, and the naturals lived down in the valley and were very strict, and they kind of hated each other in a roundabout sort of way, so they never quite communicated. Now, each one had something. Right? The naturals could get a lot of things done, right? And they wanted to stick to the old ways. They wanted to honor tradition. That's really what it was about. They want to honor tradition and do that. And yet now, you know, you had the normals up in the mountains who wanted to do new things, do different things, to enjoy things. And they knew that they had to do certain things to really enjoy life. You know, they had to be physically active. They had to enjoy their food, but eat less and enjoy it more. They had to do different things at different levels. So they were constantly operating at basically cross purposes. But they never communicated because they were on two different levels. You had the, you know, the normals up in the mountains, and then you had the naturals down in the valley. And again, if you like this, click like and share. So they were always going boom, boom, boom. Great. And yet they wanted something. They wanted to be better peoples overall. Now in the land between, you know, where the normals were up in the mountain and where the naturals were down in the valley, there was a bridge, and underneath the bridge, there lived a troll. Now this troll was magical. You know, sometimes he would be up late at night, and so he would see the advantages of the naturals, you know, what they got done with their studious, with their honoring tradition, with their doing these wonderful things. And yet, sometimes he would see, you know, what the normals would do. They would enjoy life. They would be spontaneous. They were in great physical shape. You know, they ate less. They enjoyed it more. They were a different level. So he saw that each one had something, and they were part of the same system, but they never communicated. And yet he was the only one, the magical creature between the two, that could communicate with the normals and the naturals, right? And so even though there was this somewhat of a conflict, but they weren't even aware they had a conflict, they were kind of oblivious to each other. One day, right at dusk, if you will, when the sun was setting, or maybe some people would say the moon was rising, right? So right at that magical time where the naturals were getting ready to go to bed and the normals maybe were getting up ready to do their thing, he let out a forlorn cry that rippled throughout the area, you know, where it was like a soul's cry. Have you ever had a soul's cry where something in your soul is reaching out for more? Something deep inside wants an answer. And both of the peoples heard it and they knew it. It resonated with them. And they cared about the troll because it was the only creature that could communicate between the two. And so the naturals ran down, or the naturals came up from the valley, the normals ran down from the mountain, and they met right there on the bridge at the magical time between light and dark. And the troll looked at them both and said, "You both have so much to offer. You both have so much to offer. You know, the naturals with your, you know, sticking to tradition, getting a lot done, wanting to do this. It's great. You're conscientious. You get a lot done. Great. Perfect. Woohoo. Good. But how much better would your life be, the troll said, if you could enjoy more life, you could eat less, you could enjoy it more, you could begin to exercise, you could begin to do the things that you need to do at a different level and be more spontaneous. And the naturals agreed and said that would be good. In fact, we would enjoy it. And yet you could still acknowledge the traditions, but you could morph them into something new. Then he turned to the normals and said, now you guys have a lot of fun. You know, you eat less, you enjoy it more, you love physical exercise, you do all the things that you need to do to really enjoy your physical body, and you have more confidence, more self-esteem, all the things. But how much more would you have if you could still didn't feel like you were blowing off tradition, if you didn't feel like you were not helping every, you know, doing what you need to do? You know, if you could integrate some of the things from both, how much more better would you be? Because then the troll looked at them both and he said, because I know some of you down here at this level, you know, the naturals, some of you would like to integrate and be more normal. And some of you normals, you would like to integrate down and be more natural. And what if you could meet in the middle where you combine the both, where both of the people came together? You would create the greatest civilization this area has ever seen. You would be the best that you could be. But you would have to work together. You would have to come together in a way that you never have before. So he invited the two peoples, the normals and the naturals, to begin to blend together, to take the best of each world, to acknowledge the past, to respect tradition, to do all that, and yet to also integrate in, you know, the eating less, the enjoying it more, to exercise, to do the things that you need to do. And so as they began to come together on this bridge between the two, they realized once they came together, nothing would ever be the same again, because once they joined, they would be more powerful than they could imagine. Each one would not really give up anything. They would grow, they would multiply, they would be more powerful. And so they began to blend and merge. And they began to blend and merge in a way that they never thought possible. It was magical, it was powerful. And suddenly they realized that they could respect the traditions, they could do the things that they were brought up to do, and yet they could eat less, enjoy it more, they could physically exercise, they could get everything they wanted if they worked together. And so as they did, they kind of blended together with the troll. And together they created a civilization, if you will, unlike no one had seen before. And then one day, in a few months, or maybe it was a few weeks, could have been a few years, they were in the future looking back on that day. And they recalled when the great integration happened. They could recall when everything shifted. When they blended, the normals and the naturals blended into a new being where they had the best of both worlds. And so they had lost, you know, many, their culture had shifted. They were slimmer, they were fitter, they were what they wanted to be. They had confidence, they had pizzazz, they had all the things that they wanted, right? And then they were more productive, more focused, more energized than they were before. So in the future, they would look back on today as magical. And it would go down in history as the day where everything shifted. And so that's the story. That's the metaphor. And then I would tie it in with that. So again, the steps were, I'll break it down again. I define the problem. Let's say it was losing weight. And the truth is you're going to stack which way it is, but part of them wanted to change, part of them didn't. I elicited the conflict and the positive intentions of each, and I attached them to one or the other. You know, the naturals in the valley with sticking to tradition, eating the way you're supposed to eat, eating the way you were brought up to eat, all the things that we do. And if they would have been an emotional eater, if they'd had other issues or things, I'd attached all those things there. And then the normals up in the mountains, I attached the positives of what they wanted, you know, to be in shape, to be eat less, to eat less, enjoy it more, to move more, to be confident, to do all the things that they wanted, right? And so I attached each. We're giving more to, if you want to call it the hero, the one you are leaning toward. Excuse me. And then you need to create a magical character that can do the intervention, a magician, a troll, a shaman, a medicine man, something seems to work that can do the negotiation, right? Because in the conflict resolution, you're going to describe what's perfect. And then you tell the story of where somehow they met in the middle and begin to integrate. You know, if it's a, if you're using a different analogy, you know, one time I did it with somebody that loved Rocky movies, and it was, you know, they met in the ring and they battled it out, but they came together and became good friends, yada, 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 right? And so then you're going to integrate the part. And then many people forget when they're doing these metaphors to future pace it, where they go into the future, look back on today, wherever they were doing the, where the magic happened, let it be a day of history, of magic, of something that they would celebrate throughout history, you know, whatever it is. So they look back on it and they would feel good. And then you integrate it, you know, and with your own hands as you're telling the story, make sure you do. And as they came together, there was a deep shift inside, right? And so those are kind of the steps. And again, if you want the steps written out, if you're not already on my email list, shameless plug to get you to join my email list, get a hold of me, get on my email list. And I think every once a week for the next few weeks, I'm going to do an NLP technique or a waking hypnosis technique or something, you know, to get ready for the upcoming conference season. You know, IACT, I'm going to the a new small one. And then, of course, the Guild, Hypno Thoughts. I'm going to show people I'm still in the game, you know, and being active. So, you know, get on my email list. And so once a week, this little video will be shipped to you with the written steps that you won't get here on Facebook. Also, too, keep in mind, soon I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live on an affiliate program I'm launching for the Alcohol and Addiction Solution. Many of you know that's my clinical specialty for the last 30-something years. And I train people in hypnosis and NLP for addiction-specific things. I'm doing a training at IACT, one-day training. But many of the people, they really don't want to work with the addictions themselves. So I'm creating a an affiliate program for my online addiction treatment program. It's called the Alcohol and Addiction Solution. You can Google that with just type in alcoholanddictionsolution.com. Take you right there. It's a multi-step thing, but I'll have an affiliate program so you could refer clients or people to me. And yet, of course, it's an affiliate, so you get something out of the deal, and it's all NLP and hypnosis friendly. So anybody that comes and does that program, you could integrate it into what you're doing if they're already a client, or they're much more likely to stay in the hypnosis and the NLP world for therapeutic intervention. So it's the Alcohol Addiction Solution .com, and I'm also doing an affiliate program for Ultimate Fat Loss for You .com. And for that one, I've been doing a lot of that with a lot of my hypnotist, NLP, and psychologists, and also nutritionists, and some personal trainers that got fat, right? Because it's, I call it the paradox, you know, the paradox of knowledge, where you know what to do, and maybe you can help other people lose weight, or maybe you can help other people going back to the alcohol, moderate their drinking or their drug use, but you can't yourself. That's the paradox. The magic doesn't work on you anymore. So a lot of my clients for both of the alcohol and drug addiction stuff and my Ultimate Fat Loss for You are people in our world, which always makes me work harder. But anyway, I developed these programs, which were online because many people want to get help, but they, especially for the alcohol and drugs, they don't want to go away to treatment. And they don't want anybody to know. So I have an affiliate program, which will be launching soon. So you can jump into that. And it's very easy. Just put a link on your website or put a link when you do something. And then again, if it goes out there and you can generate income and help people. It's all about helping people. Because I know that you, like me, really want to help people. You dream. You get into this field. Most people on my Facebook feeds are either therapists, hypnotists, NLPers, some kind of therapist, or they happen to be actors. That's my two worlds of influence, who people get into acting because they want to move people. They want people to take action, right? That's what we do. So if that's your dream, it's not your fault that maybe you haven't reached the people that you need to reach. This is another way to reach out and help people, you know, and through an affiliate program, it's all hands off for you once you put the links up and get them out there. So anyway, you can watch this video again. The steps are in there if you want the written steps. jump on my email list because I'm also recording as I'm doing Facebook Live. I'm recording it on Zoom. And on that one, I will break down the steps for the people. And so you can implement it very, very easily. So I'd like to thank you for being a part of this. And I'll see you as we trudge the road to happy destiny.